Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Coming to you from an undisclosed broadcast location. One voice, delivering truth and pain. Presented by Guns.com. Trusted by millions of gun owners nationwide. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three.
From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis. Check them out at DeSantisHolster.com. As we do, I like to catch up on the latest writings of the biggest gun writer of his type, and his name is Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Glad to be here, Bill.
Well, let's talk about this. I think we sort of talked about this the other day, but let's talk about this Houston gun turn-in. I wish I'd thought of this. I would have gone and bought a 3D printer.
Yes, I have to give whoever did this in Houston a lot of credit because he showed how foolish and silly these events are. After all, guns are protected under the Second Amendment in the United States. So, of course, the manufacturer of them is also protected. And in Houston, they got a bunch of money. Remember a few months ago, the Congress voted $1.7 trillion in new spending for all kinds of stuff. I mean, it basically was a big pork barrel giveaway.
Right.
Well, Houston took some of that money and allocated about $1 million of it for something they call Safe One or something like that, for the city. Safety One or something. And they used 100,000 of it just recently, a minimum of 100,000, because that's what they were paying out as gift cards to people who turned firearms into them. Now they call this the Orwellian term buyback. Because, of course, the guns were never owned by the government, so the government can't buy them back. They never had them in the first place. It's really a gun turn-in event. But what an enterprising member of the gun culture did is he warmed up his 3D printer, and he printed out about a little over five dozen inexpensive 3D printed pistols. And looking at the box of them, and because I've studied this over time, it looks to me like they would have worked. I mean, it didn't say in the gun turn-in event that they had to, be durable for 100 rounds or something. I'm pretty sure they shoot a few. But as it turned out, I mean, I've gotten more information since I wrote this article. He was supposed to get $150 for every pistol turned in. But they said, these guns aren't really working guns, and so he accepted only $50 a piece for the pistols, and he said they cost $3 each to print. So, he got about $3,000 for the five dozen plus pistols that he turned in. Now we're learning that the mayor is upset because the publicity doesn't look good. It's a way to transfer money from somebody from this big government slush fund to somebody who's willing to print 3D pistols. And they don't like that, so I guess they're now saying they won't accept any more in the next gun turn-in event. But it's a big boondoggle, and it doesn't do anything to reduce crime or suicides. All the academics agree with this. They say it doesn't do anything. It's just a little drop in an ocean. It's not measurable. Nothing really happens. And, of course, it does do one thing. if you incentivize a lot of people to turn in their grandfather's shotgun or their, you know, the rifle that they inherited from their father and aren't interested in, or a pistol that's been sitting in a drawer for 50 years, and that is, they increase the profits of the gun manufacturers. Because if you would take these guns and put them into the gun stores, you know, then people would have a choice. They could buy a new gun or they could buy this old gun. And some of them would decide to buy the old guns because the supply has increased and maybe they like it for whatever reason. And then they don't buy a new gun. But when you remove these old guns, the used guns from the market, it increases the demand for new guns because the old guns aren't there. I mean, it's super simple, basic supply and demand economics. And so what these gun turn-in events are ways to increase the profit of gun manufacturers. And they don't have any other significant effect, although I would say that the people who organize them are probably hoping that they have a good profit, have a propaganda effect. You know, they do send a message. The message that they try to send is guns are bad. Turn them into police. But another thing happened at this event where the lines to turn in the guns in Houston, where I was told at times up to 2 miles long, and people waited for hours to turn in their guns, and there were private purchasers going up and down the line of the car saying, hey, we'll pay more, we'll pay cash, cash for guns, better deal than what the police are offering you. And that sends a message, too, and it says, guns are good, I pay cash. So you, when you have private purchasers and people printing guns on 3D printers and turning them in to make a big profit, you know, it kind of destroys the propaganda effect of these exercises in political theater.
Well, it's definitely political theater. I mean, the I had a producer that committed suicide.
Oh, and that's too bad.
My producer, it was with my first radio gig. Now, he tried to kill himself with a car. He tried to kill himself by driving into a tree. And that didn't work, so then he turned to a gun. And the thing about this is, and I mean, it sort of bugged me for a while, and I had to go ask a few questions of a few people about what leads somebody to do this. And with someone that is that tormented to where they are actually considering that, when they finally make a decision to commit suicide, that's really the first peaceful moment they've had in a very, very long time. So then the idea that a gun causes suicide. Guns do not cause suicide. Guns are a tool to facilitate suicide. Someone that is suicidal, if they do not, you know, if they use something other than a gun and they do not succeed, they will continue to try till they are dead.
Well, very often that is the case. And what we see is when you put significant restrictions on obtaining and owning guns, the number of suicides with guns goes down, and then the number of suicides with something else goes up. In Australia, it was single car crashes and hanging. Hanging is actually an extremely effective means of suicide. You know, it's not hard to find an electrical cord somewhere, and people use that method. And what we've seen in studies in England and in other countries, that what happens is there may be a momentary sort of lull as people find other methods, but the rates of suicide don't really change. It's just that the methods of suicide change.
It does not short circuit that desire. I don't know what actually would work to do that. Coming up on the first break, this article got published yesterday at amaland.com. Houston Gun Turn-In Nets 800 includes a box full of 3D printed pistols, which that's pretty funny. But this accompanies well over 2,000 other articles by Dean Weingarten by himself. And that's the beauty of amaland.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Mike's Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
My name is Stephen Huer. In 1976, when I was 15 years of age, I was poisoned from two mercury dental fillings. The mercury came off these fillings in such high amounts that I went from having excellent health to having chronic constipation and candida overgrowth. I could barely eat any food for 4 years, which resulted in adrenal exhaustion by the age of 20. Despite years of diet experimentation, juice fasting, and intestinal cleansing, it was not until I took certain prescription sulfur amino acids that I healed my eliminatory function and eliminated my candida overgrowth. Later, it was not until I began to consume Green Meadow Whey that I eliminated my mercury burden 100%. Had Green Meadow Whey existed in 1976, I could have healed my gut and body decades earlier. Green Meadow Whey supplies a very high concentration of the sulfur amino acids needed to fuel glutathione production. Glutathione removes mercury and virtually all other toxins from the body. Set your body free from the burden of heavy metals and environmental toxins with Green Meadow Whey. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Dean Weingarten. Let's go to the Kentucky State Police gun auctions video. That interests me a bit, because most people now have gotten away from that.
Yeah, well, this has been changed a good bit in that during COVID, what they used to do was they opened this auction, which they were required by law to do by the Kentucky State Legislature a number of years ago. I think maybe 98 when they started it, because they wanted a regular system so that the public could benefit from the sale of these impounded or confiscated or forfeited items. And so they legislated, they made a law saying that the Kentucky State Police would sell these guns, and then the proceeds from the sale would go to benefit police agencies in Kentucky. And what they had done previously was they said you had to be, and I think it's the law said it had to go to a federally licensed dealer. And so they said, we have this option. Here's these guns. Federally licensed dealers can bid on them. And you can come and look at them for this time period, you know, a few days or whatever. And they would have hundreds of people, small shops and stuff with federally licensed FFLs, federal firearms licenses, come and look. And then they bid on anything from 100 or, you know, a bunch of guns to one gun. And they would sell them off. And I contacted the Kentucky State Police and asked them for records of the last decade of how many guns they had sold and what proceeds they had gotten. And what I found out is that they'd recently changed during COVID that instead of just allowing anybody with an FFL to come in and bid, they allowed anybody from an FFL to bid, but the bid had to be for the entire lot of guns, which might be anywhere from, you know, 600 to 1,000 guns.
Wow.
And they wanted a minimum amount. The last auction in July, the minimum amount that they would accept as a bid was $80,000. So not everybody has $80,000 in cash lying around, you know, to make a bid. So that removed a lot of the competition and the complexity. It was much easier to administer an auction for just one bid.
Sure.
than it is for hundreds and hundreds. And so they did that because of COVID. They didn't want a bunch of people coming around in a single building for whatever reason. And they've continued to do that. I think it started in 2020. And I looked at the amount of money they got, how much they got per gun. It didn't go down. They get as much money per gun by selling them all off in one big lot as they did when they had hundreds of people with FFLs bid. Now, I thought that was unusual, but that's what happened. And they get an average of something like close to, well, I think it's $182. I have the number in the article per gun. I mean, that's not inconsiderable. And some of these guns are very valuable. It's a strange video because it, to me, and I'm just giving my opinion, it seemed kind of slipshod. Well, they're only advertising it to people who've got an extra 80,000 plus around to bid.
Sure.
On these guns. But the guns are in racks or in boxes, and to show the people who are likely to bid, they just take a cell phone camera. I mean, maybe it's not, but, and they just sort of pan over these guns and all the racks. I mean, you have no idea. You have to kind of figure out by looking at them what the make, model, caliber is. And, you know, you don't even get a really good handle on how many there are. And sometimes the lots contain a number of, like, inexpensive pistols all together. But it seemed to work because they got a reasonable offer. I think, I'm going from memory, it's probably, I'm pretty sure it's in the article, that I think for the last auction, they got something like almost $160,000 for about 1,000. No, it was less than that. Yeah, a little bit, 1,008 firearms, they say. So that was a little bit less than average. But when I looked at the average overall, it came to $182 a piece. And several other auctions were higher than that recently under the same system. As I said, I thought that they would get lower amounts, but it doesn't appear that that happened. And the money goes for things, particularly for body armor for police. And it averaged out that they were getting about $85 per year. That's over the last 10 years or so. $85 per year per officer in Kentucky. So body armor, you know, it varies. It's a few hundred to $1,000 or more dollars for body armor. Some's probably high grade stuff's even more than that.
Right.
But it's set to expire, I think, in about 3 to 5 years for body armor. So what this means is that essentially police officers in Kentucky get their body armor paid for with the sale of these impounded, forfeited, or confiscated firearms.
Well, I mean, I know there was a time when they were getting a lot of stuff from the military. And I would imagine that the body armor setups that the military carries are probably more heavy than they want to carry in a patrol car. So they have to probably go to a third-party source to get body armor. Probably it's not going to be the military. Probably going to be one of these companies that you and I would buy from. So
yeah, probably. And, you know, I think if they were going into a barricade situation or something like that, they might grab a heavier set of body armor. But if you're just going to wear it every day, I think most police are still committed to wearing soft body armor underneath their shirt.
Sure.
And, you know, the guy who really popularized and I think maybe invented soft body armor, I had a Second Chance Vest. I should know him. He's a really great guy. I met him one time. He said, yeah, the problem with wearing body armor that the crooks can see is then they aim for your head.
Yeah.
And so wearing it where it's not so visible is a significant advantage.
Yeah, body armor only works if you get hit in the body armor. We're coming up on the next break. This article got published today. And that's the way they used to do things in the old days. I have bought a few guns from police auctions in the past. It was always a pretty good deal side of it. But we're coming up on the break. This article, like I said earlier, it is part of well over 2,000 others that Dean has written about all kinds of various subjects within the gun culture, within the gun world, within the gun industry. He covers the gamut of anything available out there that has to do with that. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
On Wednesday, President Biden signed the PACT Act, a bill that expands access to VA health care for toxic exposed veterans and survivors. Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary Dennis McDonough says every veteran will receive everything they deserve.
We'll stop at nothing to make sure every veteran, every family member, and every survivor gets everything they've earned and they deserve.
The bill will increase research, improve care, and provide the VA with resources to better help veterans and their families. Former President Donald Trump said he declined to answer questions from the New York AG's office during his deposition in its civil fraud investigation into the financial dealings of the former president and his company. Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News. The national average price for a gallon of regular gas may fall below $4 a gallon very soon. AAA reporting today's national average is $4.01. This as we head into the peak hurricane season, which has Patrick DeHaan with Gas Buddy remaining cautiously optimistic.
We're not in the clear yet. The peak of hurricane season starts in mid to late August, and I think my anxiety is going to be pretty elevated because if we see any major storm, I would say a Category 3 or stronger, targeting an area between New Orleans and Houston, buckle up.
That audio courtesy of CNN. John Bolton is thanking the Justice Department for starting criminal proceedings related to the Iranian plot to murder him. An Iranian operative was charged in a scheme to kill the former National Security Administration official under the Trump administration and UN ambassador. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, needs a try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis. Check them out at DeSantisHolster.com. Talking with Dean Weingarten, and Dean, I'm fresh out of stuff to ask you about, and I'm presuming that you got stuff.
Yeah, well, there are some things. One of them is I wanted to say that it was the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 where the money came from for that gun turn-in event in Houston, and the mayor says that they're going to be organizing an even bigger one with at least twice as much resources soon, so, you know, listeners in Houston might consider going and seeing what people are willing to give up to him. You know, it could be the grandfather had an old Winchester 21 shotgun that somebody wants to turn in for $100 and would accept $150 for. You know, you just don't know. A lot of the people who turn things in at these events have inherited the gun, and they don't really know what they're worth, and they are not interested in going to a gun dealer. And so there are some pretty good deals that turn up at these events from time to time. And now that they have said they're not going to take 3D printed guns, I think that's out the window. But at the event, somebody wanted to turn in several 3D printed lower receivers, and the police said, well, those aren't really guns. Of course, it might be kind of news to the ATF to tell them that those aren't really guns. But
sure.
The police at these events have a lot of discretion. Shall we say?
This means, couldn't you write an article on this about how they are turning down ghost guns now? So ghost guns don't matter.
I might do that. And there were some other numbers that came up kind of interesting in the Kentucky police auction because I got those records. And so that was fascinating. I have to give the Kentucky police credit that they responded fairly quickly to my request and actually went above and beyond in sending me more information. And you don't always get that kind of cooperation from official sources when you you know, ask them for an official's records request, and they did it. And then what we found is that in the latest auction, I was just adding up the numbers, about 87% of the guns that were being sold at this auction were handguns. Okay, well, there's something like about 60% of guns sold are handguns. Handguns are more commonly sold than rifles or shotguns. It might even be more than that. Let's see. I'd have to do the exact number, but it seems like there's 1.76 handguns for every long gun sold, looking at the ATF records. So 87% were handguns. And then I had an article that I'd written a while back on guns that were traced in Chicago. Now, guns that are traced are obviously a somewhat different subset than all guns forfeited, because some of the guns that are forfeited are not traced. But 90% of the firearms traced in Chicago were handguns. And we see that, you know, I have the statistics. I haven't seen it broken out for other crimes. But for murders, of all murders committed with guns, about 92% are committed with handguns. So I thought that was kind of an interesting, fairly close number. You know, of the guns forfeited in Kentucky, about 87% handguns. Of those that were traced in Chicago, 90% handguns. Of guns used in murders, 92%. So we see that sort of 90% figure throughout. And so what is the Congress concentrating on? Banning rifles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, either what kind of a ban is unconstitutional, which the Supreme Court has repeatedly said is unconstitutional. So it's just that the Democrats, and I have to say that the Republicans on this issue are just a lot better. They say, well, it's unconstitutional, we shouldn't do it. But the Democrats never seem to worry much about the Constitution, at least lately. And so there we are. I think we have a little bit of time, and you know that I've been researching the myth, the legend of old Groner up in Alaska, that near world record bear that was killed only about 75-100 miles, and it depends how you trace the route to the place where it was killed, from Ketchikan, Alaska, which is in the southeastern part of Alaska in the panhandle there. And this bear was killed in November of 1935. And an article was written about the bear's, you know, the circumstances in which it was killed, as it had attacked this prospector and his dog, and the dog delayed the attack enough to allow the prospector to, whose name was Bruce Johnson, John Stone, excuse me, get that right, grab his rifle and kill the bear. And what was unusual about the bear was that for the previous 2.5-3 years, when this prospector and his brother and then a friend of theirs on the last trip would stop at this place called Cripple Creek, a tributary of the Unic River, they would hear this weird moaning, which they came to associate with a set of large bear tracks. And so this bear became known as Old Groner, a huge bear. And when they skinned the bear head out, it was for various reasons they didn't skin the whole bear. The earliest account says the bear had frozen overnight. It was November in Alaska, so that's not too hard to believe, and made it very difficult to skin it. And then a later account said that the pelt was worth it. So they took the bear head and they took one of the paws, and when they skinned out the bear head, they found a couple of rifle bullets embedded, and the right side of the jaw and the right eye arch had been shattered and destroyed by these rifle bullets. And two rifle bullets were embedded in the back of the right jaw. It had never healed very well, and the bear had hardly any teeth left, and the teeth it had were in bad shape. So it was in pretty rough shape there. And they took the skull back to Kazakhstan. They found out it was near world record size, and this article was written in 36 and gained some publicity. But it was in the old, the early Alaska Sportsman, and which was struggling. So there weren't that many issues of it published at that time. Well, the story kind of grew and grew, and then in 1953, a different writer rewrote the story. And in the rewritten story, it was a considerably different than the original story, and I don't know exactly why. But one of the things that startled me, and I researched this because every time I would research cases where people use pistols to defend against bears, very often a reference to this old Groner story would come up. And it came up because in the 1953 rewrite.
Hang on right there, because this is part two of the old Groner part. We didn't mention this. I did not know there was a part two, but we're coming up on the next break. This old Groner got published August the 1st, so I love the bear stories. So you hang on for me. You can find all of this at Amaland.com. It would be under all contributors. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
On the firing line from the guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis. Check them out, DeSantisHolster.com. And we're talking about Old Groner, the Alaskan myth Old Groner, Bear and Pistols,
right.
Pistols Part 2.
Right. And in the first part, I talked about how I found the original article in 1936, which that was published in February of 36, and very difficult to find. And this article, I talk about the 1953 rewrite, which is where I think the real mythology started. And that is, if you look at the 36 article, there's two bears involved. And the dog, Slasher, chases off one bear while Bruce Johnstone kills old Groner, which is attacking him. Now, in the article rewrite in 1953, there's only one bear. And it really struck me as odd. If you look, the illustration made by F.W. Gabler, who wrote the first article, he was a talented artist as well, and he made this illustration. And in that 36 illustration, there's two bears. But then, and I think this is unusual, but maybe I'm wrong, in the 1953, and then later a rewrite in 86 as well, they use the same illustration by Gabler, but they black out one of the bears. I mean, that just seems odd to me. You know, it's not a photograph, and they probably own the illustration, but it just seemed odd. So it was obviously changed to be consistent with the new rewrite. And in the rewrite, they include the same pictures of the skull that were in the 36 article, but they changed the caption. In the caption, in the original story, it talks about two 33 caliber rifle bullets that were embedded in the right jaw joint would be. And then in the 1953 rewrite, they talk about two jacketed bullets embedded where the jaw joint would be. And then somehow they mention three more pistol bullets that were in the gristle underneath the jaw. Not actually in the skull, but in the gristle. And that's the first time we hear of a pistol being involved in this story. And part of the fascination with the old Groner story is here you have somebody supposedly armed with a rifle and a pistol, and he shoots the bear twice with a rifle, and then the bear gets on him and they said, where did this person have to be to shoot him underneath the jaw with this pistol? And they're saying, well, it had to have been, you know, while he was being attacked and killed. But we never hear of a pistol or pistol bullets until 1953, which is 17, 18 years after the attack and 30 years after supposedly the pistol bullets were fired into the bear, you know, which was several years before the attack where the bear was killed. So it, to me, when you look historically at accounts, the accounts that are written down closer to the event are considered more credible because people's memory has not changed as much and they're writing down something fresh. The physical evidence is fresh. The memories are all fresh. And when S.W. Gabler wrote the original article in 1936, he probably wrote the article within 2 months of old Groner being killed, and he interviewed Bruce Johnstone, who was the person who shot old Groner. He may have talked to other people who were there at the scene. They had photographic evidence. They had the skull. You know, they could look at everything, and it was all fresh. So how it happens that these 38 bullets suddenly appear 17 years later, 30 years after supposedly they were fired, and nobody had ever noticed them before that. So it's a little odd. I suspect, I won't claim that it's absolutely true, that that just added spice to the story. I mean, if they had found revolver bullets in the bear's head originally, it's hard for me to believe that it wouldn't have been mentioned. And it was never mentioned that the person that they are thinking was probably killed by the bear, Jeff Stethington, originally they just said that he had a .33 caliber rifle. Now in 1953 they say, oh yeah, yeah, he also owned a .38 revolver. 30 years after the time he disappeared, I guess some people there in Ketchikan had really good memories about what people who were there briefly and then disappeared back in the wilderness had carried with them. Well, and they don't even say that he carried the revolver with him. They just said he owned one. And they never, as far as I've been able to tell, they never actually measured the bullets that were embedded in the skull. Now, if you're a competent woodsman and you know a bit about guns and you find these bullets and you've got your own guns there so you can compare them, you probably get a pretty good idea of what caliber they are. And they agreed among themselves that they were 33 caliber bullets, and I think they probably did a pretty good job. But as far as I can tell, nobody actually measured them, and it's only a couple thousandths difference between a 33 caliber bullet and a 32 caliber bullet, or an 8 millimeter bullet. And so there are some other things that, you know, make it so that you can tell one from the other, and I suspect maybe those things were present, and that's how they decided it was a 33 caliber. You know, the weight of the bullet would be one, the size, how it's all set up. But once you smash one of those bullets through a lot of bare bone, you know, they deform too, and are not so easily identified. So that's what we see. This is part two, where I talk about how the myth really took off, and it's when these 38 caliber revolver bullets magically appeared, that's when the myth really started making the rounds in Alaska. And then the later, in the part three, I talk about how it builds and how later rewrites all were based on this 53 rewrite, and there's story upon story upon story that builds up and into the 90s, and then it takes off again. And so if you talk to people in Alaska about bear attacks, it's very likely somebody's going to mention old Groner and how he, you know, absorbed these rifle bullets and then, attacked the guy with the rifle. And then the guy pulled out a pistol and he shot him a bunch of times with the pistol. And then that didn't do any good. The old guy was killed. And it was a killer grizzly that went around for decades killing people. Well, that's not what the evidence really says.
Old Groner was just misunderstood, I take it.
Yeah, well, I think that it became a story that was just too good not to be true. You know? And I don't know why or how it was decided to add these revolver bullets into the story, but when you have an account that was written down only a couple of months after the event and they never mention revolver bullets, and then magically 17 years later, suddenly they're in the account, and other parts of the original account, like whether there was one bear or two, you know, are changed as well. I don't find it credible that those revolver bullets were actually there. And, you know, I was investigating because I have repeatedly said I will include every documented case where a pistol was fired in defense against bear in my statistics, but I don't think this is documented enough to include it. I have two more accounts coming up to finish off the story of Old Groner, and those will be published. I will, when MLN publishes them. It could be in a week, could be in a month or longer.
Dean is very fast, and MLN has a hard time keeping up with him. Are you going to be joining me on Friday?
I intend to.
Outstanding. Maybe we'll hear another chapter in the saga of Old Groner. Check all of Dean's stuff out at ammoland.com. Thank you very much for joining me today.
It is always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. And as for me, I'll be back again in 21 hours. Between now and then, if you would, remember this, because this is very important. It has never been about gun control. Not once. Not ever. Has been. It's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
No such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise, no sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
In the 21st century, the handgun has become the preeminent self-defense tool. At CNA Precision, we specialize in taking your weapon to the highest degree of functionality possible. With a complete array of goods and services specializing in red dot sight installation, CNA Precision will help you realize the most effective handgun the first time. If you need slide milling, installation, or accessories, go to chpws.com. CNA Precision. Welcome to the Boom Squad.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.